Not that book, Danny.
Well,
take my life.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, my earth
Sunshine in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Rittermeyers, and brings guests Esther Williams and Red Engel.
Come on, we should be fairly jolly this evening because we've got Esther Williams for beauty and charm. We've got Red Engel and his mad musical satire. We've also got you, Ken, for your rich, witty, unctuous, sparkling cocoa of light.
Well, thank you, Lilith, but,
Oh, Ken, people don't tune in to hear me. It's those commercials of yours that people like.
What people?
The Philco people.
Naturally.
That takes care of our first commercial.
No,
we proceed
now into
the opening number of our...
No, we can't do that.
All right, but we have other important guests, you know, Ken. Right here in the audience. We have the entire Notre Dame football squad loaded right out there.
Just a second. This is the end of January. How can a Notre Dame team be out here in Hollywood?
On transcriptions, you can do anything. I guess next week might be Pancho Villa and his entire army.
Really, go back.
I include Chris Tim Martin.
Well, it's great to have a Notre Dame squad here, but Ben, I thought you were a baseball man.
Oh, no, I'm interested in all sports, Ken. Baseball, golf, hockey, football, Johnny Meyer, anybody you want.
Come to think of it, Bing, I hear that you are interested in the football team, though, the Los Angeles Rams.
No, not interested in the Rams financially, Ken. But years ago, I did own a team, the Glendale Goats.
Glendale Goats?
Mm-hmm.
Who'd they ever play?
Nobody. We could never find 11 other goats that could play football. And if my brother Everett wasn't a good milker, we'd have lost a lot of money that year.
Oh, I see there were girl goats. You're singing Indiana songs for Notre Dame lads tonight?
Well, I am. If John Scott will line up his team, I'll call the Rittermeyers over to my side and we'll plunge down the field with Kokomo. Tee up the hide, Coach, and we're gone. I wish I were back again with all the sweet and simple folks I call my kin in Kokomo, Indiana. Well, if it isn't popping high, Mom, you always had the cutest thing. In Kokomo, Indiana, just look at Rover wag his tail, gosh, he remembers me. And get a load of sister's grace. You can't see the freckles for the jam on her face. How would you like to go and see that old Wabash football you used to know? In Kokomo, Indiana, wouldn't you just as soon go out and swoon beneath a Hoosier moon? Oh, what a moon! For all of the many reasons that I've mentioned heretofore, my heart will always be in Kokomo. And of course, you know, the town of Kokomo will always be indubitably in Indiana. Now, in deference to the men who are our guests tonight, we're going to localize this song a little. Stand by. Maybe you don't know, but Notre Dame is not a place where shamrocks grow. It's really in Indiana. Call me a lying rogue, but they have men at Notre Dame without a brogue. It's really in Indiana. They've got the Wabash River where you think the Shannon flows. And they don't carry harps about. That's just propaganda Pat O'Brien puts out. Funny as it may seem, they don't have the Valera scouting for the team.
It's really in Indiana, and for a football game, a fella doesn't have to change his name. He plays just the same. No matter what all the Irish say or what the papers claim, Killarney isn't close to Notre Dame. And although it's known I've kissed the Blarney Stone, still Notre Dame's in, really that name's in Indiana. Indiana. We say we don't mean Purdue.
Purdue. That was a very, very clever twist on Kokomo, Indiana.
Thanks, Shannon. John Burke is the lad who pushed it.
Oh, Johnny Burke, yeah. Did Van Heusen help?
Van Heusen just put the collar on.
Bring in as much as another day. As much as another day, lads, you're here with us tonight. Do you mind if I say a few words about football?
Football? You mean Philco, don't you?
Well, football and Philco.
Oh, and the football season is over.
Well, but the Philco season isn't over.
Philco season is never over. For which I am most grateful.
Mm-hmm.
All those miles to food.
You know, Bing, I wouldn't be surprised if next year lots of football stars will carry Philco portables during the game.
While they're playing?
Sure.
You're out of your mind. You've blown your wig, Jack. This is incredible.
No, not at all, Bing. Now, look, get this. A runner could carry the ball under one arm, a Philco portable under the other, and really be in business.
He'd be in trouble if you ask me.
Now, picture this. The player's got the ball. He's running down the field, and he tunes into Harry Wismer or Red Barber.
Suppose he tunes in on a lot of passes.
No. Well, he's got any Philco tuned into the game he's playing.
Oh, I
see. And that way he can tell who's trying to tackle him without turning to look back over his shoulder. See?
I see.
I see the runner can just concentrate on galloping. So that's a brilliant suggestion. Tell us more.
Well, anyway, Big, on Philco portable's a real powerhouse anywhere you go with it. Get some more stations all along the dial. Tunes them in sharper and clearer. And plays even on trains and planes without any special aerial. And you stay at home, you'll find it makes a mighty handy extra radio for traveling around the house. Just plug it in anywhere. It's tops and portables, and it's a Philco, famous for quality the world over.
Well, it's pretty clear for old Notre Dame here tonight, but let's not forget the Ivy League and the old Eli. The great Whippin' Post song. To the tables down at Morris, to the place where Louis dwells, to the dear old Temple Bar we love so well. Sing the Whippin' Post to tremble, with their glasses raised on high, and the magic of their singing cast its spell. Yes, the magic of their singing, of the songs we love so well. Shall I wake you and the wind and the rest? We will serenade our loot while life and voice shall last. Then we'll pass and be forgotten with the rest. We'll pull the land who have lost their way. Ba, ba, ba. Dear little black sheep who have gone astray. Ba, ba.
Doom from here. Lord have mercy on such as we.
Your flicker thumbs on the celluloid show, the dazzling queen of the H2O set, MGM's lovely mermaid, Esther Williams. Well, welcome to the Circle Radio Time, Esther. May I say you look lovely in a dress.
Thank you, Ben. And may I say that the beautiful Mother Hubbard you're wearing.
Well, Dixie lent me this tonight. You see, both my shirts got in the laundry the same week. It's never happened before. Quite a conscious stomp around the house. But Esther, take a look out in the audience. What do you think of that gang of big, broad-shouldered fellows sitting out there?
My, your boys have certainly grown up.
Those aren't our kids, Esther. That group of lads hailed back from Indiana.
Oh, the Notre Dame team. Mm. Oh, great. Is it all right if I go down and sit with them?
You better stay right here on the stage. This is no time for a skinny.
Well, can the boys come up here on the stage?
Not a chance. We got them stuck to the seat. I'm just letting you. You know, Esther, the reason I was especially anxious to have you on this broadcast was I figured the boys from South Bend would like to meet a fellow athlete.
Well, why didn't you get a big athlete like Babe Ruth?
Oh, I see. I think you're the Babe they want.
Oh.
Guys, you're a swimmer. You're diverting from football. Hey, Esther, how long have you been swimming professionally?
Oh, since I was 16. I started in Billy Rose's aquacade in San Francisco.
Oh, yes, little old Billy Rose. I remember the first aquacade he put on. It was in New York, in Lindy's restaurant. He had two midgets swimming in a bowl of dough. Dive off the cold potatoes right through a bagel. Get a big hand.
Oh, that must have been thrilling.
No, it was nourishing. I must say, I think you've certainly come a long way, though, since the aquacade days. Here, you're a big star now. Incidentally, let me congratulate you on your latest picture, this time for Keith. Very interesting.
Well, thank you, Bill. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. It's those billboards I enjoy. Billboards in that bathing suit.
And you know, they wanted me to pose in front of them.
Oh, you'd get your death, of course.
Isn't it the darnest thing? Those French people just can't make up their minds, can they, Ben?
What do you mean, Esther?
Well, look, first they come out with the new long dresses that cover everything. Then they design a bathing suit and they apologize.
You know something, Esther?
What?
I accept their apology.
And by the way, you know, I'm starting a little campaign.
Against French bathing suits?
No, I'm not. I want you to sign my petition for National Civility Week.
Well, that sounds like a good idea to get my signature. Maybe Congress will set aside a week for everybody to be free, for everybody else.
Exactly.
You'd have to be free for me?
Certainly.
And I'd have to be free for you?
Oh, yeah.
Where do I sign? Civility Week's a good idea, though. It's much better than Oh, National Go See the Road to Real Week, or National Don't Bite Your Dentist Hand Off Week, or and those other weeks they have. This is solid, substantial type of week. I love it.
Tell me, Jim, how can I bring Civility Week to the people?
Actually, we have the microphone right here. Let's show all our lucky listeners how it works, Mr. Carpenter. Please take over the news.
Friends, this is National Civility Week. Be sweet to your neighbor, and your neighbor will be sweet to you.
Now let's take the folks to Ford Field in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where the Pirates are playing a crucial game.
Ben, do you think we ought to?
We're committed. We have to. Now, one strike has been called. The tension is terrific. The crowd hushed. Here comes the next pitch.
I take that back, Mr. Crosby. That was a ball.
Oh, Mr. Umpire, if you'll pardon my saying so, I do believe it was a strike. It was a peachy one, too, right through the middle, I thought.
Do you really think so, Mr. Crosby?
I do.
Oh, it seemed a bit high to be a fair and square strike.
No, really, Mr. Reardon. It's just that I have no belt and my pants keep stepping down to make the ball appear a little higher.
Well, if you insist that it was a strike, I shall so call it.
Please do. Thank you. Now, Mr. Umpire, you may signal the pitcher to catch another ball, if you will.
Oh, looky. There's a ball on the way. A slow ball.
Oh, so there is. Here it comes now. We still have plenty of time. How about a line solo? No, but I'm sure someone in the stands will throw a bottle at you if you ask them.
Oh, no bottles this week. It's Civility Week, you know.
Oh, that's right. Well, pardon my back, will you, but throw a ball ought to be here any minute.
Oh, well, don't you worry, Mr. Crosby. I saw the catcher signal the pitcher to throw you a low ball on the outside. Let it go by.
Thank you, you're so sweet. I won't even take the bat off my shoulder.
See you. You're out. Surprise!
You fooled me on that one, Mr. Reardon. You scalawag, you. Thank you, and good afternoon.
Well, good day, Mr. Crosby. I'll see you in Cincinnati.
That was grand, didn't it, Tim? We're really selling National Civility Week now.
What about football, though, Esther? Will the opposing players be duty-bound by your plan to be sweet to each other?
Oh, certainly, Jim. Not only the players, but the referees, the coach, everybody. Even the Kansas kitty and a football hero boyfriend will be sweeter than usual.
Well, Esther, the big game is going to start in just a few minutes. This is the most important game in the whole year.
Well, it's all up to you, Harry. The school is pinning the whole game on you. The team is pinning the future on you. And I'm pinning my hopes on you.
Gosh, I haven't had so many things pinned on me since I was a boy.
Boy, before you go out on the field, let me kiss you.
Well, let me put on my nose guard first.
Well, never mind, Harry. I'm going to kiss you on the forehead.
Wee, but there.
There. Now you go out on that field and win.
Darn cheating, Rusty. I will. I'll just kick the tar out of that old football.
You forgot.
Oh, Civility Week. I keep forgetting.
Don't you dare kick that poor defenseless football. Remember, it was once a living, breathing turkey.
I just lost my head, Esther. I just completely lost control. I'll just ease it over the goalpost. In my shopping suit, I've got on nice, soft woolies. I won't even bruise it.
Ah, what a game, folks. The score is nothing to nothing. Both sides refuse to score. It ain't civil. Uh-oh, I do believe quarterback Crosby is considering a tackle. Yes, he's walked over to the man with the ball, and they're having a discussion. Oh, this may be rough. Let's switch to our field microphone and pick up their conversation.
I say, Connor, dear boy, could I speak with you a moment?
Yes, Crosby, but do make it brief. I've got the ball in my arms, you know, and I'm expected to make a touchdown for my team.
Well, you're so right. But being on the opposing 11, it behooves me to tackle you.
Oh, that's true. But if you must do it now...
No, must you do it now?
Must you do it now?
That's right.
Good
Couldn't I gain a little yardage first?
Well, begging your pardon, you seem to have gained a great deal of yardage already.
We now take you to the locker room where Coach Calvin is bruising the squad between halves.
Boys, fellows, if you please, may I have a word? I don't like to be grumpy while you're drinking your tea, but the score is only 1-0 in our favor.
One? How'd you get that, sir?
For meekness, knucklehead.
You and Hope, too, huh?
You all kept your uniforms very clean during the first half. Now, time is about up, men. And remember, I want you to go out there and fight.
Fight?
Oh, what am I saying? This is Civility Week. You boys go out there and stay just as sweet as you are.
You know, last season, the country was rocked by a new rendition of the beautiful old standard, Temptation, as recorded by a musical maniac named Red Engel. This boy is sort of a male Cass Davis. Red has since gone on to greater fame and fortune as a result of his many more hilarious departures in the field of strong satire. Tonight, it's our pleasure to welcome Red aboard.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
I hear from all the disc dealers, Red, that your latest record, Nowhere, is really tripping them.
Well, it seems to be going along, Ben, but where do you hear the new ones I'm working on?
You got something outrageously new, Red?
Well, they're outrageous.
What do you call it?
Well, don't come up in the boiler room, Mother. The captain's coming down with your pay.
That sounds lovely. Sounds attractive as a dickens.
Mm-hmm. And then there's that the best things in life are free, but you can go to jail for it.
That I must hear. Sounds gay, Red, but what I'd like to hear is Nowhere.
It's nice.
Get the word?
Well, correct me if they're wrong, Dean, but I think it goes something like this.
Fire in the mountain, winds are howling. We're going nowhere. Get it going.
You come to me from out of nowhere. You put my heart and set her free. A wonderful breeze, wonderful seas that nowhere. Every hour is sweeter than a flower to me. Can't mind to think of thinking, that's why I keep a thinking of you. Go, my thoughts to nowhere. Come with me, there's a memory, dear. How sick at home. What's the hope and the trust that you come about town and nowhere. Bringing along someone to love for me. Now, a fella asked me the other day what I liked about that spot. So I got together some arguments just to prove what it was we got. I called the president, as soon as I am, a little guy called Max, and a man that really told me. Oh, so here's the fact. Ain't neither north, south, east, or west, but the place my mammy loves the best. The gravy there don't spill on your vest, and that's what I like about Nowhere. Don't come with me to old Nowhere, where things are torn and corn is heavy. We'll fry a fig and broil a berry, and that's what I like about Nowhere. Man, when you live in there, your own cloud is just solid, Jack, and solid, Jake. Live in Ireland, you live in there, and that's what I like about Nowhere. If you want a million, just write your check, and when you're in that railroad wreck, nobody takes that engine off your neck, and that's what I like about Nowhere. But we got Jupiter, Jupiter, Jupiter. Nobody will give the heat. We ain't got taxes, we ain't got no ladies, we got mother-in-laws. Father got no lines, our radios, it's a no man's land. Love, no liquid guns, and legal hogwash, ain't got nothing like that. Man, you name it, if we ain't got it, we won't get it. You can see beneath the house. All right, I'm on my way. That's all you know. You got to be.
you got no way. Time to bring your love to me.
Really great, man. Right, you know, Bing, I like that sketch of Esther's about being polite and courteous and kind to everybody, but you left out one thing. How about being kind to ears?
Well, you mean don't blast them off with a commercial now just to run into the closing number?
No, wait a minute, Bing. Wait, just a minute. Just hold it just a second. I'm not going to blast. I just want to point out that the Philco won't blast your ears off. After all, those engineers in the Philco laboratories spend all their time figuring out new ways to make your radio easier to listen to. Like those sensational Philco table model automatics. Stop in at your Philco dealer now and take a listen to the power and performance Philco's packed into them. Tone? Oh, but the best. Let your own ear be the judge. And you can say that in spades for Philco's great console radio phonograph. In fact, Philco's magnificent 1270 gives you the kindest things happened to ears since they took the horns off the talking machine. No hiss, no squeak, no scratch. When you play your records with Philco's new electronic scratch eliminator, you haven't heard anything because you've listened to your favorite platters playing against that background of blissful silence that you get with Philco's 1270. It's the last word in luxurious listening from Philco, the leader.
I see the MGM people have cooked up a flicker version of the Broadway musical Good News. The big ballad in the piece, they tell me, recites the following philosophy.
There are so many kinds of riches, and only one of them is gold. Now love me, you love me. But what they cannot be, God knows.
This program was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Esther Williams appeared to the courtesy of Metro Goldwyn Mayer, producers of Sinclair Lewis's cast Timberlane, starring Spencer Tracy, Lana Turner, and Zachary Scott. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week and hear Bing's guests, Jimmy Durante, Dick Haynes, and Mark Ellinger. And remember, for tops in the radio listening all the time, get a Philco, famous for quality the world over.